Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Transactions in WebSphere Process Server. Today's presenter is Lalitha Chandran. With over 4 years of seasoned experience, Lalitha has been working closely with clients, providing technical advisory and solutions on core service component architecture problems. She strives to ensure customer satisfaction and takes back her experience to development teams to improve product serviceability. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Lalitha.
Thank you, Joseph, and a very good morning to all of you. And thank you for joining in spite of the holiday season. So let's just get started with the presentation right away. On slide number 2. While I was working on this presentation, I realized that transaction is such a vast topic, I would not be able to cover everything. So to make the best possible use of the 45 minutes we have today, I decided to narrow it down to a very specific agenda: how to configure global transaction for two components in WebSphere Process Server. I will tailor the information in all the slides to be specific to our agenda and choose any details that is not relevant. So hopefully this way we'll be more productive. On slide number 3. On slide number 3, I have a more traditional agenda. We'll be going through the three pillars of configuring transactions. I like to remember it as IQA, invocation style, qualifiers, and asynchronous behaviors. I will also talk about few examples that show these concepts in action. One thing I would like to mention over here is the little sign you see at the bottom of the slide. You will be seeing more of these throughout the presentation. It just points to a specific article in the reference section that is relevant to the slide. On slide number 4, let's get our basics. What is a transaction? Transaction is a collection of statements or tasks that need to be executed in an atomic manner. All or nothing, as they say it. Either all the statements should execute or all of them don't. Let's take an example over here. We need to transfer $10,000, say, from your account to my account. Typically, this would consist of 3 steps: debit your account, then credit mine, and update the logs. Imagine, right after they debit your account, there's a system crash or like a power outage. What happens? The money is already gone from your account, and it isn't there in mine too. So given the financial disaster, I'm sure we both have a motivation for transactions now. On slide number 5, like I said, transaction can be a very huge topic, and if I start talking about it, I won't get to the WebSphere Process Server part of it. But there will be some terms I'll be using throughout the presentation, and this will be a good time to talk about it. Generally speaking, we have 2 kinds of transaction: global transaction and local transaction. Local transaction is applicable to only one component. So for our agenda today, we'll be using more or less global transaction. At the end of every transaction, known as the transaction boundary, the transaction either commits or rolls back. Commit refers to successful completion, and rollback means none of the statements in the transaction will be executed, as there was some problem executing it. If you have worked with EJBs before, you will know that an EJB container has the ability to take care of transactions for you. So you have the option of container managed transaction or bean managed transactions. In bean managed transaction, you will have to write your own code to manage transactions. But, you know, why reinvent the wheel? On slide number 6, let's get to the I part of our IQA, that's the invocation stuff, on slide number 7. I cannot stress enough how important invocation style can be in Web3 process server. Not only does it affect transactions, but it also affects other aspects like error handling and recovery. So I think it will be worth investing some time at this point of time. Let's bring our two components, component A and component B, and see what invocation style is. Very straightforward. It's just how component A would call component B. Broadly speaking, there are two invocation styles, synchronous and asynchronous. And as far as the effect of invocation style on transactions, I like to remember one mantra. In asynchronous invocation, component A and component B will never execute in the same transaction. In synchronous invocation, you at least have the option of doing it either way. Hence, if you want to enable global transaction, you will be much better off using asynchronous invocations. There is an exception to this rule, though, which I'll talk about later. On slide number 8. If I have to draw a parallel to the invocation style, all I can think about is sharping. Synchronous invocation is like conventional in-store sharping, whereas asynchronous invocation is like online shopping. What I mean by that is, in synchronous invocation, the caller will be engaged the whole time. Say you go to the stores, you look for your items, and if they do not have your size or your color, you have to wait for it to be checked in the inventory. And say there's a huge line for the billing, you know, you have to wait for that again. So there's no way you can perform any of your other activities. Whereas in online shopping, just like the asynchronous invocation, you can send an online request for what you need and continue your other activities like cooking, etc., etc. And one fine day, you will get a delivery, and you don't have to wait in all those long lines, see? So coming back to the slide, in synchronous invocation, the caller and the callee will execute in the same thread, and the caller will be blocked the whole time, unlike in asynchronous invocation, where the processing can continue. On slide number 9, how is asynchronous invocation really achieved? You know, it's just like the snail mail. You can place your request in a queue, an equivalent of a postbox, and then the target component receives the request, which is then processed. And similarly, the response can also be placed in the postbox and at a later time. As I had mentioned earlier, in asynchronous invocation, component A and component B will always execute in separate transactions. So if there was an exception thrown in component A, component B would still execute. Not ideal in some cases. But there is one feature that might be helpful. We can configure the transaction within which the message itself is placed in the queue, also known as message put. The transaction in which you perform the message put is very critical because unless that transaction is committed, the message won't be visible for component B, and hence component B won't execute at all. Let's see how this would help us. You know, let's go back to our original example where we were transferring that $10,000 from your account to my account. To refresh, component A did three tasks. It sends a request to component B to debit your account. It proceeds to add that money to my account and finally logs it. Only then does the transaction commit or roll back. Now, say right after the request has been placed for the component B, you know, the system crashes. Remember the power outage? This would force a transaction rollback. And since the transaction was not committed, the message would not have been visible to component B, and it would not have executed at all. See, so in a nutshell, you have your money and it is safe. This can be configured using a qualifier, which I will talk in later slides. On slide number 10. Now, the real question is, how can you really know what invocation style is used? It depends on a lot of parameters, and it's different for different components. Here is a list of such parameters. You have the preferred interaction style. You have the operation, whether it's request response or one way, and you can look at the list. But the way I would do it is I simply refer to the article at the bottom over here in the reference section. When it comes to invocation style, it's like my Bible. It's the single most document you will need, and I'm going to explain it how it will help you in a bit. But before that, we need to understand one thing. All these parameters listed on the page will affect the invocation style, and hence it will also affect the transactions. So it's not just the qualifiers, but also these parameters that will affect your transaction. On slide number 11. On slide number 11, I have an example to determine the invocation style when the calling component is microflow. The top snippet is just a snapshot from the link I was referring. As you can see the top table, it depends on the preferred interaction style of the target component and the nature of the operation on the interface. And both of these together will determine what invocation style will occur. Now, just to take an example, quick one. If the interface operation is a one-way operation and the preferred interaction style was set to any, we can see that the invocation style will be an asynchronous invocation. And it's different for different components, and that link will be your best bet. Moving on to slide number 12. This is a slide in case you want to verify the invocation style in your logs or traces. You can turn on your trace and execute your invocation and look at the traces for the keyword processing interaction. Now, if you see the method invoke, it's a synchronous call. And if you see the method invoke async, it's going to be an asynchronous one. This is just for people who are very curious, that's all. Moving on to slide number 13. Good, so we have finished the first part. Let's move to the qualifiers part of the IQA. On slide number 14. Now, we have different types of qualifiers, and qualifiers are just like any other property. They are an opportunity to configure certain functionality. They are just hints for the container to propagate the transaction or otherwise. But we need to understand that these are just hints and they can be ignored at times. As you can see, we have three types of qualifiers: interface qualifiers, implementation qualifiers, and reference qualifiers. Moving forward, let's just concentrate on qualifiers that will affect transactions. Moving to slide number 15. There are four transaction-related qualifiers. Let's go over them. The suspend transaction, a reference qualifier. It will prevent the transaction from being propagated to component B from component A. The interface qualifier, join transaction, will just do the opposite. It will decide if component B can join the incoming transaction or not. And the third one is the implementation qualifier, which basically decides if it's a global transaction or a local transaction. Now, if you want a global transaction between two components, on top of the implications tie, you will have to ensure that the values on this slide are set. That is, a suspend transaction false, the implementation transaction qualify global, and the join transaction set to true. And don't worry, I mean, it's not a typo or a mistake. I mean, I have the fourth qualify, but it's not on this page because it deserves a little bit more time and attention. So, moving on to slide number 16. Asynchronous invocation is the fourth qualifier, which is a reference qualifier. Remember how we talked about configuring the transaction of a message put, that is placing a message in the queue, and how it keeps your money safe? Yeah, that's the one we are talking about. This qualifier will help us to achieve that. Slide number 17. The value of commit will make the message put a part of component A's transaction, which can be very beneficial at times. Slide number 18. A value of call, on the other hand, will make the message put a separate transaction than the calling component transaction. This way, as soon as the statement to send the request is executed, the message is available for processing boost. Okay, there is no need for the transaction of the calling component to commit or roll back. So, this was the last qualifier. Let's move to slide number 19 and talk about asynchronous behaviors. Slide number 20. Before we begin to discuss asynchronous behaviors, let me tell you that there are some components within WebSphere process servers that will have an asynchronous implementation. What does this mean? It's just a way to indicate that these components might take a very long time to provide a response, and that an asynchronous invocation will prevent the calling thread from being blocked waiting for the response, right? But it's just a hint. On slide number 21. Now, let's see component A is invoking component B, and component B has an asynchronous implementation. But component A, instead of taking the hint and calling it asynchronously, decides to call component B in a synchronous manner. What happens? The server will intercept this call and convert it into an asynchronous one. And we all know by now that an asynchronous invocation will call for a new transaction for component B, not what we would want in some cases. So, though you would have set all the qualifiers right and you're religiously doing a synchronous invoke, component A and component B will not execute in the same transaction. This is known as the sync over async switch, and it's always a good idea to avoid such invocations. Slide number 22. Let's discuss another asynchronous behavior of interest. Say we have an enqueue export which is calling component A. It's also applicable to an enqueue import. If you haven't worked with enqueue exports or imports, an enqueue export would be triggered when a message is placed in the queue associated with the enqueue export. Once the enqueue export will pick up the message from the enqueue queue, the export will place it in another queue as it is asynchronously calling component A. Now, this is an overhead, right? Why place it twice in a queue? So, due to a performance improvement, this hub was eliminated. Let's see how this would affect our transaction. Because we have eliminated the hub, right, the nature of the call no more remains an asynchronous one. In fact, now the enqueue export and component A will run in the same thread, making it a synchronous invocation. And voila, component A and enqueue export MQ input also runs in the same transaction, something you wouldn't have expected in an asynchronous invocation. And this will be a lifesaver at some time, so we'll talk about it in a bit. On slide number 23, let's take, we have finished the IQA part of it, and let's talk about some examples that really show these concepts in action. And my first example is a POGIO invoking an MQ import. And let's say our requirement is that an MQ import and the POGIO should execute in the same transaction. Let's move on to slide number 24 and see how we can achieve this. Because we want the POGIO and the MQ import to execute in the same transaction, our chain of thought would automatically lead to a synchronous invocation, right? Because in an async invocation, the transaction won't be propagated. So what do? We do a synchronous invocation. But we know that MQ import has an asynchronous implementation. What would this do? This will turn the synchronous invocation to an asynchronous one. And our sync over async switch will come into picture and create a transaction boundary. Now, our POGIO and MQ import are not running the same transaction. So we practically not achieved what we wanted. Let's see how we can achieve this on slide number 25. Now, let's try the other way about. Let's say we invoke the MQ import in an asynchronous manner. Now, our asynchronous hop will come into the picture because it's an MQ import, and the call won't remain an asynchronous one. Instead, it will be converted into a synchronous one. What will this do for us? This will have the POGIO and MQ import run in the same transaction, just like what we wanted. So the asynchronous behavior that we did go through would help in an example like this. On slide number 26, my next example deals with an asynchronous deferred response. You know how we talked about we have synchronous and asynchronous invocations? Asynchronous invocation can be further classified into three types, and one of them is asynchronous deferred response. Before we talk about an example, let's understand how an asynchronous deferred response works. Component A would go ahead and place a message in the queue. Component B then picks up the message and processes it. And in this case, it has a response. So the response will be placed in another queue. And component A, when it finishes its other processing, it will try to look for the response in the queue, and once it gets it, it will process it. Now, while it is looking for a response, it can have a timeout associated with it, or it can wait an indefinite time. So this is how an asynchronous deferred response will work. On slide number 27. Now, let's get to our example. Let's observe the asynchronous deferred invocation with the qualifier asynchronous invocation set to commit. Now, to refresh, the asynchronous invocation, and when it's set to commit, what it does is it makes the message put a part of component A's transaction, and the message will be only visible once the transaction of component A will commit. So let's see how this works now, right? We have component A, which is sending a request, and it checks for a response. Once the response is received, the transaction will commit or roll back. But The request message won't be committed and be visible to component B unless the transaction commits. And the transaction wouldn't commit unless the response is received. And the response won't be received unless the request message was actually committed. So there you go, a classic deadlock example. So in this case, if the response was just waiting indefinitely, it'll enter into a hung state. Can we fix this? Definitely. Let's go to slide number 28. We could set the asynchronous invocation to a value of call. What would this do? This would immediately commit the transaction in which the message was placed, and it will be available for component B. So we are removing the dependency between the placing of the message and the committing of component A's transaction. And this can solve your problem, but this might have other issues, and that's the reason why I would recommend you to refer to article number 6 in the reference section to see the correct usage of the of this particular invocation style. And, you know, just use it where you really need to. Moving on to our last example on slide number 29. Now, let's take a minute here and understand the terms on slide number 29. In the beginning of the presentation, I had mentioned we have two kinds of transactions. Global transaction and local transaction, you know, but that was just a general classification. I just didn't want to get into too much details at that point of time. But let's put this under a microscope and see what we have. We have the global transaction as usual. You know, global transaction can span over different components and modules, and, you know, we can configure it as we desire. But in the absence of a global transaction, the container will start a local transaction containment. This is a way for the container to indicate the absence of global transactions. So wherever you don't have a global transaction, you will have a local containment, local transaction containment, right? But unlike the global transaction, a local transaction containment cannot be shared between different components. It will be specific to a component in process server. But within a local containment transaction, there can be more than one resource manager local transaction, or it's nothing but a local transaction. This is a view of the local transaction from a resource manager. And, you know, the resource manager could be an EIS, that's Enterprise Information Systems. It could be a database or a JMS system. So all the transactions within the resource manager's local transaction will be atomic. But if you take any two RMLT, that's the local transactions, they will be independent of each other, and you cannot make those two local transactions as an atomic one, right? So, moving on to slide 30. In my last example, I am discussing a KIX import. When calling an external system like KIX, there might be a requirement sometimes for the absence of any transaction because the external system might want to start its own transaction system or manage its own transaction system. What this really means is that there shouldn't be any global transaction or a resource manager local transaction before calling the KIX. Now, disabling the global transaction is straightforward. We can set the joint transaction qualifier to a false. But what about the resource manager local transaction? Let me tell you, there's an attribute called resolver in the deployment descriptor which determines how a resource manager local transaction is started. The default value within WebSphere process server is container at boundary. which means that the container will begin the transaction before calling the kicks. But this is not what we want. So you have another option of setting the resolver to application. And what it does is it tells the container not to start an resource manager local transaction before calling the external system. So with the right qualifier and deployment descriptor attributes, we can achieve what we are looking for. So to sum it up, it's pretty straightforward. We have the invocation styles, we have our qualifiers, and we have the asynchronous behaviors. And sometimes you might need certain attributes in your deployment descriptors. So there you go. Hope you know you did get a lot of information from my presentation today. On slide number 32, I have all the references that I had mentioned in my presentation. On slide number 33, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for Web3 products. Developer Work offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to a webcast and conference information just like this one. Visit web3.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get a new user up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notification link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. So with that, I will pass it to Joseph and see if we have any questions.
Thank you, Melissa, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Kathy, we would like to open the line for questions.
At this time, I show no questions.
Thank you, Kathy. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.